in the limelight. US President Donald Trump's America First concept contradicts the values of the United Nations, denying the broad consensus of the international community to pursue common development through cooperation and to solve global problems through shared responsibility. This contrast reflects the limitation of Donald Trump's diplomatic philosophy. The concept of America First has internal contradictions and cannot solve the vast majority of problems in today's world. Here we present you an interesting article by staff writers of Iran's English-language website Fars News Agency. The article is titled, Why UN Doesn't Like US. Please stay with us for more. On 26 September 2019, U.S. President Donald Trump delivered a speech at the United Nations General Assembly in New York, once again preaching the concept of America First and denying the significance of globalization and international law. Trump's third address to the United Nations General Assembly was an unmistakable nationalist one, with reiterating the theme of his foreign policy doctrine that all nations should be looking inward and considering their own interests first. He focused more on criticizing other nations than that he claims treat the US unfairly than on uniting nations around principles of democracy and humanity. Donald Trump hit on each of his favorite themes: unfair trade, imbalanced defense spending, illegal immigration, and socialism, reading from the teleprompter in a somewhat subdued manner. He claimed, "The future does not belong to globalists, the future belongs to patriots." At any rate, Donald Trump likes the United Nations General Assembly platform. On the one hand, the UN headquarters is located in New York, and Donald Trump can go home when he visits the United Nations, enjoying the owner's treatment in the Trump Tower in Manhattan. On the other hand, he likes to speak in front of many audiences. At the United Nations General Assembly, politicians from all countries became Trump's audience. On the contrary, the United Nations does not like the US under Donald Trump. The Trump administration has withdrawn from several United Nations agencies and international treaties such as the Climate Change Treaty and the Medium-Range Missile. In addition, the United States owes more than $1 billion in contributions to the United Nations. Donald Trump's America First concept contradicts the values of the United Nations, denying the broad consensus of the international community to pursue common development through cooperation and to solve global problems through shared responsibility. This contrast reflects the limitations of Donald Trump's diplomatic philosophy. The concept of America First has internal contradictions and cannot solve the vast majority of problems in today's world. One of the contradictions is that the US hopes that countries will capitulate under pressure and adopt a similar concept of isolationism and reduce the supply of public goods to the international community. Peace does not occur naturally. In order to maintain peace, major powers need to assume certain international responsibilities and provide assistance in vulnerable countries to help them solve the root causes of terrorism and extremism. The reduction in the supply of public safety products will make it easier for some countries to become a source of global turmoil and attract anti-civilization forces to establish bases in these countries. This change may not be apparent immediately, but in the near future we may see the rise of new terrorist organizations and transnational criminal groups. Another contradiction is that the United States does not want to be bound by rules and treaties, but requires other countries to abide by the same rules and treaties. The United States walked out of the Iran nuclear deal, the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, but still expects the Islamic Republic of Iran to remain in the United Nations endorsed treaty. The concept of America first is a category of power politics. Trump believes that the strength of the United States is the main reliance on its security. Once there are rules that limit U.S. power or unfair for U.S. interests, the U.S. government will seek to revise those rules. At the same time, the Trump administration does not allow other countries to propose changes to existing international rules. This makes other countries feel like they are being unfairly treated and slow down the evolution of international law. The Trump administration advocates dialogue and dignity, but tends to use unjustified means such as maximum pressure to resolve the contradiction between Iran and the United States. In his speech, Donald Trump said that he is trying to talk and listen to everyone, including to North Korea, Iran, and other leaders of countries that have long disagreed with the United States. But the fact is that the Trump administration has imposed unilateral economic sanctions, cyber attacks, and military threats against these countries, which have seriously affected ordinary citizens. In the face of such double standards and conflicts, these countries are questioning the United States' true intentions and its credibility to fulfill its commitments. Other countries do not like this disgraceful strategy to resolve differences. They believe that they may also become the object of blackmail by the United States. Accepting U.S. blackmail will not only hurt the interests of those countries, but also expose the governments to enormous social pressure. No wonder Iran says it will only talk to the United States once all sanctions are lifted. Meanwhile, in his speech delivered at the 74th United Nations General Assembly, Iranian President Hassan Rouhani has proposed a regional security plan for the Persian Gulf. The security initiative is titled the Hormuz Peace Initiative. The idea entails the concerned countries cooperating to ensure security in the Persian Gulf and the Sea of Oman, though importantly excluding the United States' participation in the initiative, which is stirring up regional tensions. Washington blames Tehran for the mysterious tanker attacks that occurred earlier in the summer and the Ansar Allah Force's recent drone strikes against the world's largest oil processing facility in Saudi Arabia, which the United States then exploited as a justification for bolstering its military presence in the Persian Gulf in order to milk Saudi Arabia and intimidate Iran into undertaking political concessions in exchange for sanctions relief. As part of its efforts, the United States has struggled to form an international coalition for patrolling the Persian Gulf's waters and ensuring so-called freedom of navigation, a move that Iran has labeled as provocative and intended to actually bully. It's therefore imperative for the regional nations to take security into their own hands instead of relying on self-interested outsiders like the United States of America, which have over four decades of experience in trying to destabilize Iran after the 1979 Islamic Revolution. After all, it's only sensible for one of the most direct regional stakeholders themselves to officially suggest something of the sort in order to give it the momentum needed to be taken seriously by its counterparts and not be regarded as an entirely extra-regional recommendation. It therefore wouldn't be surprising if Iran's proposal includes regionally relevant details for facilitating its eventual entry into practice. Iran's Hormuz Peace Initiative is timely and much needed since global economic security, already threatened by the US trade war, is largely dependent on stability in the energy-rich Persian Gulf region, which has been undermined as a result of recent events there and America's attempts to pin the blame on Iran without showing any evidence. Considering the US provocative actions and rhetoric, it cannot be trusted as a reliable partner for ensuring this, hence why it's the need of the hour for the regional countries to cooperate. Among regional countries, two Muslim nations, Iran and Saudi Arabia, share partnerships with China and are greatly increasing their economic engagement, which places the People's Republic of China in a privileged position to help facilitate peaceful dialogue if called upon by both parties to do so. Even if they don't request this, there's no ignoring that they each have shared interest in stabilizing the Persian Gulf in order to maximize the benefits they stand to receive from the Belt and Road Initiative, BRI. Iran is regarded as one of the most promising emerging markets in the world, given its pivotal transit location along the South Eurasian rimland, educated population and natural resources and wealth, while Saudi Arabia is in the midst of its Vision 2030 systemic transition to a post-oil economy. Without peace and security in the region, their future development plans, which are being advanced through differing degrees of foreign investment, are endangered. So now is the time for them to finally take collective security seriously without the United States of America. The majority of peace-loving nations must choose dialogue, support global governance, and recognize that only multilateral cooperation and deliberations can solve the world's problems of politics and trade, not Donald Trump's America First policy. They must be careful to avoid the proliferation of unilateral standards and nationalistic practices by certain sanction-happy, trade war-happy actors. It sends the opposite message.